Thanks for that, mate. Wow. Jesus, this is Azariah, Maria's guardian angel, who gave Maria dictations on the epistles of the liturgical year from 1946 to 1947. And Jesus and Azariah said, "Souls seek God. It often seems to you that they do not. You do not know the spiritual sufferings of the souls enclosed in a body and subject to thoughts which are hostile to God. Those who possess these disheartened souls do not themselves notice the tears of their blinded, chained soul going about in distress in search of the light from the depths of its jar, sometimes trying to escape and seek God and drink a sip of heavenly air. I would have had a leap firmly jammed onto my soul when I went off with the fairies, as I say, off the deep end and went toward the church. Everything I did, I could rationalise. Everything I could make an excuse for. Words would seem to have been spoken and received in vain, and would sometimes reappear on one's deathbed and win the final battle, delivering the spirit to God. Words would sometimes hold the descent into horror and crime. Words would sometimes pull the spirit out of the abyss and put it on the way back to God. Many words are not needed, sometimes none, to see one another at glance. Your eyes gaze in a way that is no longer earthly. You look, but it is not you. Christ looks through you. You see, but you don't see the person in front of you. You see his soul with your soul. And it is because of this looking with the soul, after you have filled your gaze with celestial light, that you do not look the way everyone else does. You listen to the stories of others and I remain silent. But while your lips are silent, your soul loves. And by loving, it caresses and comforts the embittered, sick, irate soul speaking to you. You also speak sometimes and say commonplace words to commonplace listeners from whom you want to keep your secret hidden. But like the note of a song which now and then escapes from a closed hall and fills the street with sweetness, and which the poor man gathers in and draws consolation from, now and then a spiritual gem falls from your lips, a spark escaping from the fire of the capital F possessing you, and the one speaking with you receives it, meditates on it, his soul awakens, reflects, and sometimes decides. Nothing from the works of love is ever lost. Love is in you, and everything is thus active. There were times, years ago, and even when I was away from the church, I'd be sitting with somebody who had really big, big problems. And I might be sitting with them for 2 or 3 hours during the night. And it happened 3 or 4 times in particular. And I came home thinking to myself, I was of no help to that person tonight. And just about every time, I spoke to the ring the next day, thank you so much. Just for being there. Do you know that little thing of saying, don't walk in front of me, I may not follow. Don't walk behind me, I may not lead. Just walk beside me and be my friend. And it's a wonderful tool God has sent us to be there. Not necessarily being that active, or overtly active. But it's like, how do I know what I'm thinking until I can hear what I'm saying? In other words, I need to express my problem, whatever it is, and just in expressing it, it helps to clarify things with me. And then I think of the three H's. I'm here. How do you know I'm here? Because you can see I'm here. I'm hearing. How do you know if I'm hearing? Because sometimes I say, do you mean that when you do this, da 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 da? Yeah, that's it. But in my own words, I'm helping. Maybe I'm only helping because this person is taking responsibility for owning the problem and then later clarifying and acting on it. So in terms of listening, as a listening tool, just being there, perhaps this is the greatest love I can be for anyone. We go on to the next book of Maria Wadsworth, which was one just recently translated from Italian into English. We've been waiting for this last essential book of hers, which is the lessons from the Holy Spirit on the book of Paul to the Romans. Why did the Holy Spirit pick this particular book? I've yet to find out because I haven't had a chance to read it. It came out about last November. And I'm just dying to get back to reading while I'm going around doing all these sort of things. I'm just dying to get back to reading Ralph. So obviously it's well worth another study. But there's one passage in it which deals with Mary. And I did a scan to see if I could see a lady or Mary. And I found there was one. In chapter, this is the Holy Spirit's dictation. In chapter 9 of Genesis, it is said, I will set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. Rainbow, a sign of peace. Rainbow, a bridge between heaven and earth. Mary, the peaceful bridge joining heaven and earth. The most beloved one who obtains mercy for sinners with her soul presence. With the growth of sins and the increasing of storm clouds of divine wrath and satanic fumes, Mary is always the one who scatters the clouds and disarms the lightning. She builds her mystical bridge for humanity, which has fallen into the abyss, so that it can rise up sweetly. Its good. I will set my rainbow on the clouds and I will remember my covenant. O truly, the rainbow of peace, the co-redemption is amongst the clouds, above the clouds, and so on. Seen by too few of the just ones on earth. I want to talk about some of the little booklets and the little audios that the Reader's Group has produced. Remember I said about the good bronze door opening wide, and Jesus said, do not judge. How many of you know about a program called Microsoft Publisher? Do any of you know that? Okay, what happens is, supposing you have a 20-page little booklet, it will print out page 1 and page 20. Page 2 and 19, 3 and 18, so on. So if you put them together, guillotine, boom, you've got pages 1 to 20 in order. Well, I was doing my first booklet on forgiving and being forgiven. It was a real green booklet. It had 33 pages, and on the back, I went to whittle out the last page to make it a nice even 32. I pressed the delete button on the last passage on page 33, and I was living in a trailer at the time, and I was sort of So it can be very much like a marriage. And almost fire comes down from the ceiling. Stops not between me and the computer. Starts talking to me with his legs. You know, I think they call them money sliders in Australia. I don't know what you might call them here. And I thought, oh, something going on. So I called my friend Chris Cannon, who lives on the other side of Melbourne, and told her about this. Oh, that's interesting, David. So we talked about other things. Then she put the phone down. She went into the bathroom of her house, and between her and the mirror, a little spider comes and does the same with her. My little one, in the meantime, had gone up to the ceiling, across, and is now almost touching my glasses. I think someone's trying to tell me something. I rang up Chris saying, yeah, happened to me too. So we each got the Bible, opened it at random, but there was no passage that we could easily identify. 36 hours later, the morning of the second day after this, suddenly saying the prayers and the word three comes to my mind, three. And I went to the computer and did a word search. Would you believe it was in the passage I had deleted? And the passage I had deleted was an account of that big bronze door. But it was also a folder of that 1944 notebook when Maria had well and truly got the child. And Jesus said, if I had not halted you with my do not judge, making you reflect that even someone apparently less suited to becoming an instrument of God, God might be present, you would have broken with your violence what I had knotted together, a silk thread destined to become a ship's hawser with cables of supernatural charity and human affection. And didn't Jesus have supernatural charity and human affection? Shortest verse in the gospel, Jesus wept going down to Lazarus' tomb. He says, go in peace, your Jesus does nothing without a perfect purpose. Message for me, something connected with judging to do with the forgiving book. About 6 months later, I was giving a talk in Brisbane, Northern New South Wales, or Northern New South Wales, Australia. Like here, a little spider crawls across my nose. Message to me, tell the story of the now three spiders. Reason, I believe that while I am judging, I am getting into the trap of not forgiving. If I can nip the judging in the bud, then I don't fall into that trap so easily. And that was about 4 or 5 years ago. And with just a few exceptions, every group I've spoken to, I've mentioned that story and stressed that learning that I have. Do not judge. So if somebody's driving me over the wall, I say, David, you don't know where they're coming from. Back off. That poor fellow's tailgating me. You don't know where he's coming from. Just don't get upset. Just keep going. Pray for him. And there are lots of other little books. I've told you about crossing the threshold of death. A couple of years ago, Judas, there was a beat up on Judas in all the lot of the press, and everybody said, oh, he really had no choice, he was destined to do this, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da, and I said, blow him down. So I did a collection of passages on Judas, the betrayer of Jesus. One of the things that comes out of the one books concerns Jesus says, of all the people who loved me, John loved me the most. And then he said, of all the people whom I loved Judas the most. It was the same with my mother. I was the wayward Lamb of God, children, she loved me the most. Because I was the hardest to love. The others were easy to love. So this is the story about Jesus, and about whom Jesus says, you will learn more from Judas, says his apostles, than from anybody else. If I was lost in the desert aisle, this is on my short list. It's called The Genesis and Activity of a Soul. It's got that passage from the Zechariah and Song of Song. But it's in two parts. What is a soul? And what does a soul do? Straight out of Bell Talker. If you don't like Bell Talker, it will mean nothing to you. But for me, it means a whole lot. Wonderful. A wonderful teaching. The first little book that I ever did was when Anglicans and perhaps Episcopalians started ordaining women priests as priests. And I thought, Jesus has a lot to say about womanhood. And I learned so much about womanhood and the extraordinary capacity of woman to love and to forgive and to suffer. That's part of the woman's role. And I'll just read one little passage from the back. Jesus says to his male disciples, you, my friends, endeavour to acquire the humility and firmness of women, and demolishing manly pride, learn from them how to love, to believe, and to suffer for the Lord. Because I solemnly tell you that they, the weak ones, will become the strongest in faith, in love, in daring, in sacrificing themselves for their master. They love without, with their whole selves, without asking for anything, without pretending anything, satisfied only with loving, forgiving, comfort and joy. My friend Ed Corey in Phoenix, I said, Ed, this is the next edition of this. Would you give it a title? Ed sits in front of the Blessed Sacrament every morning from about 4:30. Anyway, after he came back out, he rang me up and said, Dave, it has to be the strength and value of woman. Woman. This is your son. Woman. Wonderful. Wonderful word. With this in mind, I extended to do a booklet on marriage and family life from the reader's writings. Everything I could find on marriage, including the stuff I didn't want to look at when I started reading it many years ago. There's a priest, there's a Jesuit priest in Singapore who broke 20 copies the other day. He wants to use it for a marriage preparation course. If we could love like Jesus and Mary in the marriage. And he said there's chastity. There's chastity in marriage in country. What's the word anyway? In sexual love. You can live a chaste life, still live as in sexual beings too. It's only when lust, for the purpose of lust only, that begins to destroy the marriage. When I came back from Victoria, I hadn't started reading the poem. There's five books, gosh, I'm going to get through those. I'm too busy. And somebody gave me a copy of this. It's called The Passion, Death and Resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's like a Reader's Digest condensed version of the Passion, from about 150 pages to about 50. It is brilliant. I'd say that more people use this as a stepping stone to the poem than any of the other booklets. I've sold more of these than any of the other booklets over the many years. And this is a reprint, a second edition of it. Another good introduction to Maria's writings is the Nativity of the Shepherds and the Three Wise Men. A lot of people buy this and give Christmas presents to their friends. What about a Christmas present and then a taster of something like this? And Volume 1. Another one is Love and Name, the Path to Holiness. What saint did not suffer? And sainthood, and holiness, and suffering, say to all wax down together. The first passage in this says, Peter asks Jesus, why should children suffer? And Jesus explains to a beautiful conversation with Peter. A couple more. Everything I decline on prayer, the prayer life, the teachings of Jesus and Mary. Now these are not substitutes for reading the writings of Randall Corner, but they're like compilations on a particular theme, and I did it for myself so that I would understand more about that theme, but also as tasters for people who wanted a stepping stone. And another one done before, since I was here last. Jesus teaches how to evangelize, what to do and what not to do. A compendium from the writings of Maria Magdalena. How many of us, including Michael, but try and push, hey, Charlie, you've got to read this, yes, I'll give you a golden one. Or, you know, da 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 da. People are more influenced by how I live my life and what I believe in than by how I want them to live their lives and what I want them to believe in. So if they like the way I live my life, they'll be interested in what I do and what I read. Another way of saying that is from this gentleman in Orange County a couple of days ago. He said, your actions drag out your words. I think that's a good way of saying it. By this all men will learn and try my disciples if you have love for one another. What did he do with Mary Magdalene, Jesus? He looked at her and he ignored her. But he certainly got her attention back in a way she didn't expect. I've mentioned the Pilgrim's Guide to the Poem of the Mad God, an index of about 430 themes and subset themes and two-way scriptural cross-referencing poem to scripture, scripture and poem. I can find 98.5% of all the passages relating to Jesus and Mary in the Gospels were actually witnessed by Maria of Alcora, if you believe that that is possible. And there's another little book called A Reader's Guide to Maria Magdalene, other writings, covering five or six other books that she has written. I remember early in the piece when I was putting together these little compilations, and I thought, oh, gee, I had a little wish list, and one was the Stations of the Cross, and the other was the Mysteries of the Rosary, and oh, okay, that's too big. Eventually, we did the three rosaries, and we did audio tapes of the three rosaries. These are the transcripts. And then the fourth one came at Luminous Mysteries when I was in New Zealand in 2002. And so we added that to the collection. So we had four audio tapes. Still the test of time, and then the time came to translate them into CDs, so we had to reduce from 90 minutes on to 78 minutes, and I had to trim a few sentences here and there. And in trimming a few sentences here and there, I noticed that one of the sorrowful mysteries had 11 Hail Marys. And there were the moments all those years. I think that was a bonus. So, and it was from this basis, with a selection of the much shorter passages related to each of the 20 mysteries, was produced in this little booklet, of which this is the second edition, just currently quite a long way from Australia, or 3 days ago. Finally, this is year A, isn't it? Must have been 9 years ago we started on year A. A friend of mine would read the Gospel, and I would read what Maria Magdalene wrote. And we did years A, B and C. 55 Gospels, including the ones that are hidden by the Easter. I think so there's about 55 in a liturgical year. So we did year A, year B and year C. And we got so much out of it ourselves that we give them again. This time with more passages from some of the known books, sort of adding to some of the understandings of the gospel, and with slightly better equipment. So 6 years, and then another year we tied it up by making sure all the major solemnities and feast days were recorded. And then we had 30 or more, 48 days. And then my good friend Tim here introduced me to the Mixcraft program, and I was able to transfer, learn how to do this. It's a beautiful program. It's like the Cessna of an aviation has to sink from the Boeing 747. It's suitable for me to get off the ground and do what I want to do. So we transfer those to MP3, which is a condensed CD. And we have 220 tracks. Here's an MP3 plus the solemnities of major feast days on 4 discs. And I couldn't wait for Bishop Gandalf to get the first copy. And I knew he'd lost his reading sight, so I coloured the first time I had a copy of Year A. Blue for you, Lee. I think he could read colours certainly very well. And Brennan's here sitting and reading for the solemnities. Plus, I was sitting down and access up to what we did very little time in that department. And it just happened that a friend of mine, a leader group member from Melbourne, Australia, a Chinese man, Peter Chin, and his wife were visiting Toronto. And the bishop had received these. And Peter sent me an email and I said, "Hey, what do you mean, man? Go down and buy an MP3 compatible CD player. Not on the bishop's door, and he will be able to listen to these. Has to be MP3 compatible or on the computer." And his reaction, I think he might have told me, he said that they for him were priceless. That was the word, I think, Mary Ellen, that he used. Yeah. So for anyone who's hard to see, hard to read, things like that are pretty good. And maybe Mary Angela might consider some of them on her radio program because they've been claimed up. And I don't suffer from stamina. Feel doing it again to suffer from stamina. I don't suffer and all that, which would spoil us, so that's slow fairly well. One day during a break in our recording, my friend has got a hot wire much better, much stronger than mine, I'm sure, upstairs. He was just sitting there quietly. And suddenly the words came to him that the Pilgrim's Guide and the Sunday Gospels are in the rhythm of my church. Where did that come from? So that's about as much as I can say. And Father, Father's coming, your Lord has come to Father's hand, you were told, are you?
No.
No. Oh, he's upstairs. Sorry.
Can
I have a break for a minute?
Yeah.
Well, before we disperse, whenever I'm in a place and I know that I might not get back again for a long time, well, it sort of reminds me of when it's a funeral and my family often get me to swing my street chariot. I did this in Melbourne once, and after we finished, the fellow in the back of the room said, "Don't you know, Dave, that that's the Irish rugby theme song?" We haven't got a recording or anything like that, but maybe you'd like to join with me. We'll sing "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." Swing low, sweet chariot, come and follow, carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and for carry me home. I look over John and what do I see? Come and for carry me home. A band of angels come around to me. Come and for carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and call the carry home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and call the carry home. I'm serious this time. If you've been there before, I do. Come and call the carry home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and call the carry home. Swing low, sweet chariot, come and call the carry home.